This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show, hour number two here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. You can catch us on YouTube. We got hot takes flying in the chat at the Team 980 live every single day. All 3 hours. Right now it is time for the thing that we do every single Tuesday at this time. Starts off with the introduction, a proper one. Not only the air horns that you already heard, but it is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Mitch Tischler joins us each and every Tuesday, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast. Mitchell, still riding high after Sunday's festivities?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to when you sneak out a win the way that they did, and you're headed into a game against a division opponent at 6-2, the best you've been since 2008. You got to feel okay about yourself.
So let's start off with your view of it. Yours was, five seats down from mine. I just blacked out, so for all I know, like, we may have high-fived, and I don't even remember. What happened to you, around you, for you, when you saw that Noah Brown caught the football?
I mean, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me. The press box is generally a pretty stoic atmosphere. They're, you know, kind of hardcore press rules. You don't cheer in the press box. And that ball went up in the air, and kind of everyone rose, I think, at the same time. And when it completed, there were a lot of, oh, my God, holy bleeps, different things you can't say necessarily on the radio. And I think everyone was just kind of looking around in complete disbelief about it. And, you know, a lot of things that Jaden Daniels has done so far have been pretty magical. And when things are going well, I guess they continue going well. But that was pretty unbelievable.
Whether it was locker room, post game, something you saw online, like, what's your favorite reaction that you either experienced or have seen so far?
I think there's two. Kind of one from the fan perspective. Instead of going straight down to the press conference room, I walked out to the concourse and kind of walked, took a couple of videos amongst the fans. A lot of Commanders cheering, and, you know, a lot of excitement and singing and all that stuff. And one Bears fan walks by and he goes to me and goes, "I thought we were good. I finally thought we had turned it around. We still suck." And it just kind of made me laugh. Like, you know, I can't imagine. It's so wild looking at it from our perspective because it turned out in a positive way. I can't imagine how crushed you have to be as a Bears fan to watch, you know, your franchise quarterback have 33 yards of passing at halftime, throw for a buck 30 in the game. And, you know, think that you're going to escape with a win and then have it turn out that way. It was pretty funny. But in locker room, Kadarian Mathis, who's been a part of a lot of big wins in his career, in his lifetime. He was part of the walk-off win for Alabama to win the national championship when Tua hit Devontae for a touchdown in the back of the end zone. So he's been there and kind of done that before. And he said, even this, he's like, it was so damn exciting. He's like, I shed a tear. I'm not going to lie. And I just thought that was kind of cool. It shows how much these guys care about what's happening.
100%. That's really cool. And, you know, when you're in the NFL, you have inevitably been a part of some winning teams before in your life. And even if you have not been a part of that as a pro, to see how much it means, I guess it would be, I don't say inappropriate, but it would be a bad job by me, Mitch, to not follow up. Like, as someone who's out there every day, how different is the bond between this team and its head coach than anything else you've ever seen at the professional level? Like, you've obviously mostly covered the Commanders, but you've been working for, you know, NBC Sports Washington or whatever the iterations, now Monumental Sports for a long time. You've been around multiple franchises. You've been around pro sports a long time. And there is a professionalism at this level, but they're still human beings. It's still sports. Those bonds can create. And when you see that mean that much to Big Phil and you're around these guys every day, like what, how different is the bond and how would you describe it? The bond that they have with each other, but especially with Dan Quinn, who I think is the centerpiece of it all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say better or different than other teams. It's different than what the Commanders have had, where generally you've had a head coach that's been more of a, you know, a leader, not necessarily, you know, more of a kind of a guy that sits on top than somebody who's kind of intermingling with the players as much as kind of Dan Quinn does. But to me, it reminds me of every other winning team, you know, that you've been around, whether it was the Nats as they were running up to the, you know, World Series with Dave John, or with whoever their manager was. I'm not a Nats fan. I don't really care that much about them. But the same feeling that you had with the Cavs too when they were going on the Cup run. You're seeing an environment where it's not a leader and followers. It's kind of everybody, you know, working together and being a part of it. And I love, you know, the sideline reaction that NFL Network had. And the first thing Frankie Lubu does is run up and, you know, give Dan Quinn a big hug. And I just think that, you know, those are things that are like, you know, it helps when you're 6-2 and everyone's winning and going in the right direction. But you're seeing the type of camaraderie from top to bottom that you see on winning teams and winning franchises.
No doubt. And it was Davey Martinez. Your instincts were leading you in the correct direction. It was Davey for 2019 for the Nats. So
I'm
the hoopla.
I love Davey Johnson, so I just assume that he's always the manager of the.
All right, Davey Martinez, not Davey Johnson. Different Davey.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, they won. Good job, and this feels like a team that's winning. They are. They're 6-2. That's excellent. Obviously, there is an entire football game that leads up to that point, Mitch. We spent so much time yesterday on the show, and I'm sure you and JP did on the pod as well, talking about the Hail Mary and just kind of reveling in the glory and the fun of it all and the national spotlight's back on it, because why wouldn't it be on this team? But once you kind of get past that and you go, okay, let's look at this game more holistically and think about it, how it translates forward into the Giants and then ultimately the Steelers and Eagles and Cowboys that are coming up, how did you feel about the rest of the game?
I think the rest of the game, I think a lot of it you have to give some credence to the fact that your starting quarterback is playing with injured ribs. But I think the inefficiency in the red zone is the biggest thing that you need to take, that I took away from this game, at least on the offensive side of the football. You know, for the second time in 8 weeks, they were ineffective in the red zone, had to settle for a ton of field goals, and ultimately created a situation where the Bears, who didn't do anything for the better part of, you know, 2.5 quarters, stepped in and were able to make a comeback. And that's one of those things where winning teams don't let bad teams out of bad play. And they did a really good job last week with the Panthers not allowing them to, you know, get any momentum. I think part of that is the Bears are a much better foe than the Panthers, but they had an opportunity to really end this football game multiple times. And they just continued to settle for field goals and keep the game close and keep giving the Bears a little bit of hope. They allowed Caleb Williams to finally get hot for about a quarter, where he threw for almost 100 yards in the fourth quarter. And, you know, that's a problem. You know, that's something that needs to be fixed. But at the same time, if at the beginning of the season you told me 8 weeks in, one of the biggest issues I had with the offense was their efficiency in the red zone, I would say, hey, that's not the worst problem in the world to have. So I think you got to take everything with a grain of salt, but to me, I think they got to find a way to get a little more efficient in the red zone. I think part of that will be when Jaden Daniels is feeling healthier and they can involve him in the run a little bit more. Part of it is a rookie quarterback in the red zone. Everything is in tighter spaces and happens much quicker. So I think it's part of his growth, and I'm hoping that we'll see that kind of evolve as the season continues.
I agree. I do think it's worth pointing out, for whatever it's worth, in the red zone, you had two plays that are 2 inches from touchdowns. On the first drive of the game, Luke McCaffrey is wide open, and Montez Sweat gets a great pressure that forces Jaden to not quite get enough on the ball to get it before the Bears defenders can come back into play, and they're able to push Luke out of bounds. But if Luke has a bigger foot, he probably toe drags there, and it is real close to a catch. So there's one that's, you know, again, 2 inches from being, or not Montez Sweat being the guy chasing Jaden away from a touchdown. The Ertz play is the correct call, but it is so close. And I think Ertz makes that catch a lot more than he lets that thing get ripped away. Like, he can protect the ball maybe a little bit more on the way down. But it's really close. And then you obviously have the penalties. So I just think it's worth pointing out how close they are. Not to say like, oh, everything's actually fine, but that's the difference in this league, is those finer point details. And the last time they missed on these kind of details was against New York, and they put up 77 points in the next 2 weeks combined. So I do think they have the capability of flipping it around. They just obviously have to do it.
Exactly. And, you know, it's great that they were close, but being close is what led them to settle for field goals. And if they're able to rip off offensive performances like they did in back-to-back games after that Giants game here, then I'm happy to retire that worry. But the other thing that you got to definitely be concerned about, and this isn't necessarily Bears related, but were just some of the injuries that you saw across the offensive line. If Cornelius Lucas isn't able to go, then you know, you're hoping that Brandon Coleman can come back from the concussion that he suffered 2 weeks ago. Lucas left the stadium in a walking boot last week. We'll find out more, you know, tomorrow on those injury fronts. But the fact that the Commanders went out and signed an offensive tackle today probably lets you know that one of those two is probably, you know, still working through what they're working through. And, you know, we saw Andrew Wiley has a big brace on his right elbow. He went out for one play during the game. I think he just got poked in the eye. Biotis had a big wrap on his thumb / the joint there. You know, both Cosme and Allegretti are dealing with, you know, various small injuries. And that happens as this NFL season continues, and it's happening across the league. But the lack of tackle depth combined with the injuries that they have, I think, is what has created, you know, a little bit of concern as you start moving forward. And especially when you look at, you know, a Giants defensive line that gets after the quarterback pretty dang well, it's going to be a big week for injury recovery here in Ashburn.
No, it definitely is. And they signed a tackle to their practice. Unless I'm missing another roster move, is that you're talking about Bobby Hart that they brought in today?
Yeah, he hasn't played a whole lot. I mean, it's been a couple of years. It'll take a little bit of time to figure out what it'll be, but they need bodies out there, because currently Trent Scott's the only other real tackle that they have, you know, roaming around here until they start moving guards out there and, you know, start playing with that positional game that way.
Yeah, and Chris Paul played some decent tackle for them in the preseason, but that's the preseason. They did let a tackle go to sign Hart, so they're getting just a different guy on the practice squad. So we'll see if that guy's, you know, needed on Sunday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mitch Tischler with us, of course, co-host the Beltway Football Podcast. Real quick, one more thing in the red zone, because we talked about this with some callers in the first hour, and I didn't get a chance to obviously talk about this yesterday, and I actually forgot to bring it up with Logan on Take Command this morning. So I will see what you think about this, Mitch. There's three fourth down decisions of the game that I think are, at the very least, are worth discussing. Two on the first two drives of the game, they're relatively fourth and short. I think one's a fourth and two, one's a fourth and three, but it's less than fourth and five, and they wind up kicking a 27 and a 30-yard field goal. And then the much more high-risk one is the fourth and 2 inches at the end of the game, where if they get it, they can basically run out the clock. Instead, they punt it away, Bears come down and score, then they need a Hail Mary, and lo and behold, they get one, so we all forget about it. What do you make of Quinn's I would say, varying week-to-week aggressiveness when it comes to going for it on fourth down for a team that is 10 for 10 in those situations on the season.
Yeah, I think this week, and maybe I'm attributing too much to the rib injury, but I think this week they were, you know, we heard Cliff King, let me start with, we heard Cliff Kingsbury last week talk about the fact that Jaden's such an alpha competitor and that, you know, sometimes they're going to have to protect him from himself. And I think we saw that in the game on Sunday a little bit, where they didn't call as many design quarterback runs because they were concerned that he was going to take a couple of big hits, and he did take a couple of big hits. I think some of those fourth down plays are, they're so successful on fourth down this season, 10 for 10, because of the threat of Jaden with his legs out there. And, you know, obviously with more guys around the line of scrimmage, you know, you're talking about a situation where he's probably not going to be able to skate free and get out of bounds and not take a hit there. So the early field goals, you know, especially when your defense was playing as well as it was, I wasn't too up in arms about it. I kind of thought that that was the right call, get some points on the board, you know, let Jaden get comfortable. Don't open him up to anything further. And at the end of the game, you know, I see a lot of people questioning Washington punting away on that fourth and one. You're at your own 12-yard line. Your defense has held this team to, you know, to 7 points through three quarters and 13 minutes or whatever it had been. They've been playing extremely well. The quarterback, you know, Caleb Williams, hadn't thrown for over 100 yards. He was completing the ball at less than a 50% clip, less than a 30% clip at that point. And so I understood kicking it away because your defense is playing well, and at some point you got to, you know, you're trusting that they're going to be able to step up and finish this thing off, because the Bears had shown little to no life the entire game on offense. I didn't have too big of a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't have a huge problem with it. I did think, I know Grant was making this point in the press box, that like, if you go for it and you don't get it and then they score, at least they score quickly, as opposed to you punt it away, you're automatically not getting it. And if they score, you have less time on the clock. Obviously, it's harder for them to score, and at least it should be. It wasn't. They went hot knife through butter because that defense was exhausted. But I do think that it's at least a discussion, and I do wonder what the – I mean, they have a ton of analytics. They've got really smart people in that department now, and Dan's obviously got a feel for kind of how his units are playing, and I certainly don't think it's indefensible. I have a bigger problem with the ones early. I just kind of think that kicking 30-yard field goals is not a thing we should be doing in 2024 in the NFL. We have enough win probability data to know that you're more likely to win the football game if you go for it, because the downside is they have to drive 80 yards on you or 90 yards on you, and that's really hard to do in the NFL. So those are, to me, Mitch, the kind of bigger talking point is not necessarily the finer details, but how it seems like game to game, Dan's aggressiveness meter ratchets up or down, and at some level depending on the opponent, which I think is ultimately good, but I do wonder how much the rib had to do with it, back to your original point.
I agree, and I think that's what I like about Dan Quinn and his aggressiveness. You know, like, you think about like other super aggressive coaches across the league, and I think Brandon Staley is the guy that sticks out the most, the head coach of the Chargers the past couple of years before they got rid of him. He was this ultra aggressive guy, and it was pedal to the metal no matter what, and it ultimately hurt his team more than it helped it. You know, analytics are an awesome piece to the NFL puzzle, but there's more to the calling of a particular play or the design of a particular play than the analytics of, you know, you score more points doing this than that, because there's a human element to all this. They're not robots out on the field, you know, that are making plays. And so I think that's a positive quality in a coach, is to know his players and know his team and know when it's time to ratchet it up versus when it's time to, you know, take a step back and take the points when you can get them.
100%. And, you know, analytics are not a certainty. It's not 100% you should do this or that. It's, you are 60% here, 40% there. But if, say, I don't know, you have a quarterback with a rib injury and a backup left tackle who's not playing great and a banged up offensive line, you need 2 yards, you might kind of know you're on that 40% side and that it's actually not the right move. And so you have to manage a dynamic game at all times. That is why head coaching is hard, on top of many other reasons why head coaching is hard. And obviously Dan Quinn's doing a good job because they're sitting at 6-2. Mitch Tischler's talking about it each and every day on the Beltway Football Podcast postgame. You can catch that also live on the Monumental Sports app. Mitchell, always a pleasure, sir. I'll see you in a couple weeks in the press box, and we'll talk to you next week after the Giants game right here on the Hoffman Show at 5.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, bud.
All right, that is Mitch Tischler, everybody, with us every single Tuesday, a Tischler Tuesday, here on the Hoffman Show. Anthony, real quick, because we have like a minute here before we need to go to the old commercial break, and then we have a Jaden Daniels tape Tuesday, which is very exciting. What did you like? Were there any of those fourth downs where you were like, why aren't they going for it right now? Or is it only maybe now that I'm talking about that you're like, wait, maybe they should have considered that?
To be honest, I think the points you made about the first half getting down, I think we kicked the 28-yarder. We were on the 11-yard line. I definitely would have been more comfortable going with it. I feel as though if we were playing a team like the Bengals, for instance, or, you know, another one of these high-powered offenses where you got to meet aggression with aggression, I think this would have been a situation where – we would have opted to go for it. Like, we wouldn't have thought twice about it. The fourth and inches, I was definitely super tempted to do it. But I did understand we are inside of our own, I guess, 15, 20, or 30, or whatever it was. And that would have been a lot of pressure on the defense. But the thought crossed my mind. I don't think I would have pulled the trigger. I definitely would have been more comfortable going for it early in the game when we were inside the red zone on the other side.
So just to be clear on the details here, the first one, and by the way, if anybody over in Ashburn is listening, like, y'all know how to get my number. I actually would love to know what the conversation was on the headset. Are we going here? Because there's a million reasons why you don't do it. From our favorite play here involves Jaden running and we don't want to expose him to the hit and we don't think it's worth it. Two, we just don't think this is going to be a very high scoring game and we think the points are valuable. And obviously, like, it works out it works out in the end, period. They won the football game. But in terms of optimizing their chances to do so, I would love to know what Dan and Cliff and whoever else is involved in that decision are doing. If someone wants to tell me on the low over in Ashburn, y'all know how to get in contact with me. Someone give me a call on a commercial break. But Austin Seibert kicks a 27-yarder after they pass on a 4th-and-2 at the Chicago 8. So if you don't get it, which presumably passing incompletion, or if it's running, it's, you know, you maybe get a yard and then you don't get the second. So they're taking over inside their own 8-yard line. The second one is a little bit farther out. Seibert winds up hitting a 30-yarder because it was 3rd-and-12 at the 12, or like 3rd-and-goal at the 12. So, you know, that one hurt because Eckler, like, Daniels hit Eckler at like the 6, and Eckler dropped it. And if he can at least get to the 5 or the 4, then maybe we're talking about going for it. But the thing is, too, with the first one especially, that's the one that hurts. You're 4th-and-2 at the 8. You can get a first down. Mm-hmm. That's one of those, too, where I want to, like, I actually think in those situations, like, teams cover the first down so aggressively, you can not only steal a touchdown, but you can kind of steal a touchdown in that one. That's the one that I'm like, yeah, what are we doing?
No, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah. But I definitely think it's going to be something to monitor. I think they pay attention to these kinds of things. I don't know.
I love this comment in the YouTube chat from Aubrey. This isn't Madden. Kicking field goals and punting is smart football. Aubrey, 5 seconds later, I would have went for it on 4th-and-inches.
Wow.
Which one is it? Kicking and punting is smart football. I would have done dumb football. Great job, Aubrey.
I nailed it. I think if we're playing the Lions, we go for it. I think if we're playing the Bengals, we go for it. The Chiefs,
Who's definitely going for it? The Lions.
Yes, they are.
Dan Campbell's going for that son of a gun. Every single time. All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, Jaden Daniels tape Tuesday. This dude put on a clinic on Sunday. It was even better than I thought after watching the tape. You'll hear me and Logan Paulson break it down next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.